राधावा कुंजा बिहारी जयो राधा माधावा कुंजा बिहारी गोपी जानवाला बा गिरिवार धारी जय गोपी जानवाला जय गोपी जानवाला बा गिरिवार धारी जय गोपी यशोदनंदन ब्रज जानरंजन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी गयो राधा माधव कुंजा बिहारी जयो राधा माधव कुंजा बिहारी गोपी जानवाला बा गिरिवार धारी जय गोपी जानवाला यशोदनंदन ब्रज जानरंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी गयो राधा माधव कुंजा बिहारी जयो राधा माधव कुंजा बिहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा हरे रामा राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे हरे Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada. Prabhupada, Jaya Jaya Prabhupada,
Jaya Jaya Prabhupada,
Prabhupada, Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Vishnu Pada Paramahamsa Parijakacharya Stotra Shashi Srimati Dhaniga Swami Abhay Charana Arvinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. Jaya Vishnu Pada Paramahamsa Parijakacharya Stotra Shashi Srimati Sridhara Goswami Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada Ki Jaya. Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda Ki Jaya. Namachaya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jaya. Vimse Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktarinda Ki Jaya. Shri Shri Rata Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyama Kundarada Kundagiri Govardhan Ki Jaya. Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jaya, Maipur Dham Ki Jaya, Jagannathapuri Dham Ki Jaya, Gangamaya Ki Jaya, Yamunamaya Ki Jaya, Bhakti Devi Ki Jaya, Tulsi Maharani Ki Jaya, Nithai Gaura Premananda, Samaveta Bhaktavinda Ki Jaya. All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Guru Gauranga, all glories to Shri Prabhupada. Hare Krishna, good morning, dear devotees. I just want to ask for your blessings to say something inspiring and to become a tool in Krishna's hands, to say something that is meaningful and proper. Please bless me, you all senior devotees to me. Hare Krishna. Also, my online listeners, to please bless me. To say something inspirational. Okay, so we continue reading Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So we continue study Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto. It's called Cosmic Manifestation, and chapter 7, Scheduled Incarnations, and today's verse 47. It's kind of a big verse. It's 1.5 verse. So please repeat.
Shashvat prashantam abhayam pratibodham atram.
Shashvat prashantam abhayam pratibodham atram.
Shudham samam sadasatam paramatma tattvam.
Shudham samam sadasatam paramatma tattvam. Shudham samam sadasatam paramatma tattvam.
Sabdo nayatra purukara kavam kriyartho.
Sabdo nayatra purukara kavan kriyartho.
Maya paraitya bimukte mukhe cha vilajamana.
Maya paraitya bimukhe cha vilajamana.
Maya paraitya bimukhe cha vilajamana. tadvaipadam bhagavatah paramasya pumso.
Tadvaipadam bhagavatah paramasya pumso.
Brahmeti yat vidura jasya sukham vishokam.
Brahmeti
yat vidura jasya sukham vishokam. Sāsvāt prasāntam abhayam pratibodham atram. Sudham samam sadasatah paramatma tattvam.
Sudham samam sadasatah paramatma tattvam.
Shabdo nayatra purukara kavan kriyartho.
Shabdo nayatra purukara kavan kriyartho.
Maya paraitya bimukhecha vilajamana. Tadvaipadam bhagavatah paramasya pumso.
Tadvaipadam bhagavatah paramasya pumso.
Brahmeti yat vidura jasya sukham vishokam.
Brahmeti yat vidura jasya sukham vishokam.
Shabdo nayatra purukara kavan priyato.
Maya paraitya
word meaning. I just have to make a disclaimer, a little disclaimer about my language. I was out of states for 4 years and didn't speak any English, so my English a little bit deteriorated. Sorry for that. Maybe sometimes it will be hard to understand me. Shashvat. Eternal. Prashantam. Without disturbance. Abhayam. Without fear. Pratibodhamatram. The consciousness opposed to the material counterpart. Shuddham. Uncontaminated. Samam. Without distinction. Sadasataha. Of the cause and effect. Paramatmatattvam. The principle of primeval cause. Shabda. Speculative sound. Na. Not. Yatra. Where there is. Purukarakavan. Resulting in fruitive action. Kriya artaha. For the matter of sacrifice. Maya. Illusion. Paraiti. Flies away. Abhimukhe. In front of. Cha. Also. Vilajamana. Being ashamed of. Tat. That. Vai. Is certainly. Padam. Ultimate face. Bhagavataha. Of the personality of Godhead. Paramasya. Of the supreme. Pumsaha. Of the person. Brahma. The absolute. Iti. Thus. Yat. Which. Viduhu. Known as. Ajastra. Unlimited. Sukham. Happiness. Vishokam. Without grief. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace is Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. What is realized at the absolute Brahman is full of unlimited bliss without grief. That is certainly the ultimate face of the supreme enjoyer, the personality of Godhead. He is eternally void of all disturbances and fearless. He is complete consciousness as opposed to matter. Uncontaminated and without distinctions, he is the principal, primeval cause of all causes and effects, in whom there is no sacrifice for fruitive activities, and in whom the illusory energy does not stand. Really philosophical. Philosophical verse. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The supreme enjoyer, the personality of Godhead, is the supreme Brahman or the summum bonum because of his being the supreme cause of all causes. The conception of impersonal Brahman realization is the first step due to his distinction from the illusory conception of material existence. In other words, impersonal Brahman is a feature of the absolute distinct from the material variegatedness. Just as the light is a conception distinct from its counterpart, darkness. But the light has its very variegatedness. Is that correct pronunciation? Yeah, correct. Which is seen by those who further advance in the light, and thus the ultimate realization of Brahman is the source of the Brahman light, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the summum bonum, of the ultimate source of everything. Therefore, meeting the personality of Godhead includes the realization of the impersonal Brahman as realized at first in contrast with material, that's also inebriety. The personality of Godhead is the third step of Brahman realization. As explained in the first canto, one must understand all three features of the Absolute, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Pratibodha Matram is just the opposite conception of the material existence. In matter, there are material miseries, and thus, in the first realization of the Brahman, there is a negation of such material inebrities. And there is a feeling of eternal existence distinct from the pangs of birth and death, disease and old age. That is the primary conception of an impersonal Brahman. The Supreme Lord is the supreme soul of everything. And therefore, in the supreme conception, affection is realized. The conception of affection is due to the relationship of the soul to soul. The father is affectionate to his son because there is some relationship of nearness between the son and the father. But that sort of affection in the material world is full of inebriety. Inebriety is false, in other words, false?
It's like being drunk.
Being drunk, yeah. Uh-huh. Intoxication. Mm-hmm. When the personality of Godhead is met, the fullness of affection becomes manifest because of the reality of the affectionate relationship. He is not the object of affection by material tinges of body and mind, but he is a full, naked, uncontaminated object of affection for all living entities because he is the super soul or Paramatma within everyone's heart. In the liberated state of affairs, the full-fledged affection for the Lord is awakened. As such, there is an unlimited flow of everlasting happiness without the fear of its being broken, as we have experienced here in the material world. The relationship with the Lord is never broken, thus there is no grief and no fear. Such happiness is inexplicable by words, and there can be no attempt to generate such happiness by fruitive activities, by arrangement and sacrifices. But we must also know the happiness, unbroken happiness, exchanged with the Supreme Person, the Personality of Godhead, as described in this verse, transcends the impersonal conception of the Upanishads. In the Upanishads, the description is more or less negation of the material conception of things, but there is not denial of the transcendental senses of the Supreme Lord. Herein also, the same is affirmed in a statement about the material elements. They are all transcendental, free from all contamination of material identification, and also the liberated soul are not devoid of senses. Otherwise, there cannot be any reciprocation of unhampered spiritual happiness exchanged between them in spontaneous, unbroken joy. All the senses, both of the Lord and of the devotees, are without material contamination. They are so because they are beyond the material cause and effects, as clearly mentioned herein. Sadasatah Param. The illusory material energy cannot work there, being ashamed before the Lord and His transcendental devotees. In the material world, the sense activities are not without grief, but here it is clearly said that the senses of the Lord and the devotees are without any grief. There is a distinct difference between the material and spiritual senses. I understand it's really a long purpose, but please have a patience a little bit more. And one should understand it without denying the spiritual senses because of the material conception. The senses in the material world are surcharged with the material ignorance. In every way, the authorities have recommended purification of the senses from the material conception. In the material world, the senses are manipulated for individual and personal satisfaction, whereas the spiritual world, the senses are properly used for the purpose for which they were originally meant, namely the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. Such sensual activities are natural, and therefore sense gratification there is uninterrupted and unbroken by material contamination, because the senses are spiritually purified. And such satisfaction of the senses is equally shared by the transcendental reciprocators. Since the activities are unlimited and constantly increasing, there is no scope for material attempts or artificial arrangements. Such happiness of transcendental quality is called Brahma-saukhyam, which will be clearly described in the fifth canto. Om Agyani Timuram Desaginan Janashavataya Chakshun Tanna Tasmai Shri Guravi Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manavishtam Tiptam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Parama Hyanda Dati Svaparantika Vancha Kalpataru Bishchakti Pashina Devi Chapachitanam Pavan Vyavashnabhi Namo Namo Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Vedadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhatta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukam karoti vacharam pangamam jayate girinya kripatamahamande shri gurundina taranam. So this was a long purport and very philosophical. Although Srila Prabhupada explains at the end how, about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the person, and relationship with the Lord, devotees and the Lord. Yesterday was a brilliant class by Ridanand Maharaj. I really enjoyed hearing the scholarly devotee. Advanced devotee, and I'm just try to go in his footsteps, trying to explain. It's mostly will be good for him, this kind of verse and this philosophical explanation. Yesterday verse is a little bit more simpler, and when I heard this, I realized that how important to understand the meaning of each word. This verse. Lord Brahma, this is a discussion between Brahma and his son Narada. So he started to explain, as we know from the beginning, he started to explain different incarnation of the Lord. This is a chapter actually called Scheduled Incarnation. And the Brahma actually enjoyed listing all these names of the Lord. Both of them actually enjoyed, Narada Muni and Lord Brahma enjoyed listening about the different pastimes of the Lord. And at the end, Brahma said, this is just a little bit that I explained, just a few drops about the pastimes of different incarnations of the Lord. In verse 41 and 42, Lord Brahma explained that it's kind of verse 41 and verse 42, they kind of controversial. First, remember, if you remember the previous classes, the Lord Brahma said in the beginning, I explained all the incarnation to you, but nobody can understand, not even me, not you, not others, do not understand the pastimes of the Lord. Never understand completely. And next verse he said, we will understand that, all of us will understand. And he gave a list, big long list, who can understand the Lord. Remember that previous verses, a long list of names who can understand and who relish the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the main point that Brahma said that one can understand only by surrender. If you are not surrendering to the Lord, you will never understand Him. Those who think that they can understand the Lord, they're actually fools. And there is a nice story about, mundane story about Socrates. You know why Socrates was famous for? Because he was known as, start with the beginning. First of all, one king in Greece, he wanted to understand who is in his kingdom the most clever, most scientific person in his kingdom. So he went to Delphi Oracle. I don't know if you understand the Delphi Oracle. It's in Greece. And he asked him, who is the most intelligent and who is mostly scientist in my kingdom? And Delphi Oracle said, this is Socrates. He's the most intelligent person. And when the Socrates heard that Delphi Oracle said about him that he's the most clever and most intelligent person in the kingdom, he was really surprised of it. And because he was surprised, he was starting going to different scientists. Intelligent person in the Greece in Athens, and he started hearing them, and by hearing them, he understood that while speaking, they think they're all right. The speakers thought they know everything a lot. They thought, but Socrates known. For that he knew that he didn't know anything. That's the controversial. And later on, he understood why Delphi Oracle named him the best, the more intelligent person, because at least he knew that he doesn't know anything. So this is our position, should be our position with the relationship in spiritual practice, in everything. We should be like fallen soul, feel like fallen souls. We couldn't understand anything without help of the Lord, without help of the devotees, of our seniors, of our spiritual master. That's it's a secret in spiritual life to understand the Lord. There is a nice verse in Bhagavatam which Chitraketu Maharaj explained in the sixth canto. We know that Chitraketu, he's considered the pure devotee. He has a very nice verse. It's 6:16:34. Chitraketu vacha ajita jita sama mati bhi sadhu bhi bhavan jitam mat bhi bhavata vijita stepi cha bhajatam akamatmanam ya atmadoti karunaha. And you know what he's saying? O unconquerable Lord, it is his prayer. O unconquerable Lord, although you cannot be conquered by anyone, you are certainly conquered by devotees who have control of the mind and senses. They can keep you under their control, because you are the causelessly merciful to devotees who desire no material profit from you. Indeed, you give yourself to them, and because of this, you also have full control over your devotees. So this is a reciprocation with the Lord. Conquered means, surrendered. Krishna surrendered to the devotee, and devotee surrendered to the Krishna. This is a reciprocation with the Lord. There is another wonderful prayer by Lord Brahma also from third canto, 9, chapter, verse 11. This is also famous verse. Srila Prabhupada recited it a few times in his lectures. It's a beautiful verse. Lord Brahma also praying. Tvam bhakti yoga paribhavita hritsaroja asheshu tekshita patho nanutnatha pumsam yadyadiyana urugaya vibhavayanti tatat vapu pranayase sadanugrahaya. O my Lord, your devotees can see you through the ears by the process of bona fide hearing, and as their hearts become cleansed, and you take your seat there. You are so merciful to your devotees that you manifest yourself in the particular eternal form of the transcendence in which they always think of you. And Srila Prabhupada explains in that purport to this verse that the Lord doesn't appear to any devotee. Not to any devotee. He is not like a boy who running back and forth in front of everybody. No, he said, explained in this purpose that he appears only before his pure devotees. Not only, but not only regular devotee. but to the pure devotee he appears. That's the remark Srila Prabhupada said in that purport. And he explained in this verse that how to see the Lord, how the devotee see the Lord, he see by his ears, not by his material eyes. Or because if even Krishna appears before materialistic person, and materialist will see him like Duryodhan. I mean, he was more advanced than regular materialist, but he didn't understand that Krishna in front of him is a Supreme Personality of Godhead. He didn't understand that. Only devotees, Arjuna and five Pandavas, they understood that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they offer him proper respect. That's important in our practice. So the Bhakti Yoga is a process for everybody to see the Lord through the ears. Actually, in these explanations of Lord Brahma, different incarnation, he by hearing that, Narada Muni relished that different personality of Godhead. And what to speak of us and materialists. Brahma explained later on that he said even animals can understand the Supreme Lord. Imagine, even animals can understand the Lord if they just surrender. This is one important point Brahma said. If even animals surrender, he will understand the Lord. Animals. What to speak of us? At least we can read, we can try to understand. And the one point Brahma said also in two verses before, I guess, he said, those who, let me see, but those who are attached to the body, which is meant to be eaten at the end by dogs and jackals, cannot do so. So the good point about that, we can understand, but we should not be attached to the body, which meant to be eaten by the dogs at the end. So this is the main point. Even though, you know, Bhakti Yoga could be simple, right? Bhakti Yoga, well, just chant 16 rounds, four regulative principles, that's it. But there is also some things. You have to avoid 10 offenses, for example, yeah? 10 offenses in the holy name. And, all nine offenses is not really so hard. But the 10th offense, to be, to keep, could you repeat in English, what's the 10 offenses? Yeah, to maintain material attachments. Yeah, that's the point that Brahma said in the verse 42. If you keep that attachment to the body, you will never understand the Lord. And we have to give it up. Give it up, this attachment to the body. How? The process is given. The process is to hear about the Lord. And the more and more we hear about the Lord, like, you know, when you put ink, when there is ink in a cup of milk, Srila Prabhupada gives that explanation. If there is a drop of ink in a cup of milk, you just keep pouring milk in that cup more and more and more, and then the ink will gradually disappear. So what does that mean, pouring milk all the time? You keep listening the Krishna Katha about Krishna, and that Krishna Katha will move out all the impurities, inebrities from the heart of the conditioned soul. And what my point is. There is one story about that, making that point, that once was a king in a kingdom. He had an incurable disease, and that king, he really suffered of this disease, and still he kept going and serving in his kingdom. But he knew that he had that incurable disease, and he was once he made like big feast or kind of doing some kind of serving to his citizens. And one day he met in his kingdom one sadhu who came to him, and he didn't complain anything about his disease to anybody. Nobody knew, and he kept serving that sadhu. And when he already served and finished serving that sadhu, when he already started to go away, that sadhu, he said to the king, "My dear king, I'm very happy with your service. What can I do for you? Can I do something for you?" Well, and the king said, he opened up his heart to him and said, "Well, you know, I have an incurable disease, and I don't know how to get rid of it, and it looks like I'm going to die soon." And sadhu said, "Well, I can cure you. I know how to prepare all different herbs, and I can cure you. It's not a problem for me. But I have two conditions. And the king said, okay, I'm ready for all the condition you offer if you can cure me." And the sadhu said, the condition is that you shouldn't think of any sense gratification for 1 month. Sense gratification, especially about sex, you shouldn't think about even that. Well, king said, "Okay, no problem. I will do my best." And so there, every day, sadhu, he made one and a half cups of this herbs preparations. So he gave every day to half of the cup he gave to the king, and one cup he drank himself. He drank himself. So this was going on for 3 weeks, and after 3 weeks, the king, he following his instructions. He didn't think about any sense gratification. He was very devoted to the sadhu, and after 3 weeks, he felt that he almost healthy. I mean, the health came back to him, and he felt a lot of strength in his body. And at the same time, when the health came back to him, he felt lusty desires, big lusty desires, and he came to that sadhu and said, "Sorry, I felt that I'm already healthy, and you know, I promised to you that I would not have any lusty desire, but you know, I couldn't do anything with that. Lusty desires just come to my mind, to my head, to my heart. I couldn't do that. Don't think." And the sadhu, he said, "Well, I'm sorry to tell you, but since you already thought about it, you're going to die in 1 month." The sadhu said. And the king said, "Oh my God, what am I going to..." And the sadhu said, "But at least that you up to that stage, at least I can promise to you that your death will be easy. I mean, you're not going to die in a big pain. It will be easy death." And he said, but sadhu said, "But you know, for that, in order to reach that easy death for you, we have to keep doing drinking our herbs." After 29 days passed by, sadhu met him, the skin, and said, "So how are you doing? Do you feel okay?" And this king said, "Well, how I'm gonna feel? I'm gonna die tomorrow, so how should I feel?" And the sadhu, he was a clever sadhu, because he gave that thought to him that, the important thing I'm missing, that the king asked him, "You know, I'm drinking half of the cup of the herbs and you drink one cup of the herbs and you don't feel any lusty desire. How come is that?" And the sadhu explained to him that, you know, as soon as I told you, well, sorry, another thing he said, "You're not going to die. I just joked. You're not going to die. It was a joke. I just meant to say that you shouldn't think about it, and you should not have a hope for sense gratification. If you don't have a hope for that sense gratification, you will cure very easily. You will become healthy." So he said, "And why I'm not become lusty? Because I always remember that this is temporary life, and I'm not attached to this material body." And in this, he gave a lesson to everybody, to all of us, that this is a temporary world and we shouldn't try to be attached to this world. And this will be success in our spiritual practice if we understand that this is a temporary, short human life. It's just, you know, nobody lives for 100 years anymore, mostly 60, 70, 80 maximum. So in this little short span of life, we should try to dedicate our life to hearing about the Lord, to study about the Lord, reading Srimad Bhagavatam. And the verse is about different thing, about the Brahman. But at the end, Srila Prabhupada explains about the happiness, sukham, vishokam, ajasya sukham, unlimited happiness. At the end of the purport, Srila Prabhupada explained, when the devotee will have that reciprocation with the personality of God, not impersonal Brahman, but with the personality of God, he will be reciprocating unlimited joy. Unlimited joy. Srila Prabhupada encourage us here at the end that we have to develop our our relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and this reciprocation will be nice and sweet. I prepared a lot of more materials, but I think that it's our, as Maharaj said, eternal time is up. So if anybody has any questions or comments, please do so. Thank you. Mataji? Later.
Haribol, I was so amazed when you said that if an animal wants, he could surrender. I had an idea.
Yeah, that's not me, it's Bhagavatam said.
I mean, through the Bhagavatam. So I didn't really have that realization, and I was wondering, so why doesn't it happen? Very often we don't see cats starting to chant Hare Krishna or something like that. So how does it happen?
How does it happen to the animals? How they? How we? That's, how the animals surrender? Well, we know from the Leela from Chaitanya Charitamrita how Lord Chaitanya asked Shivananda Sena's dog, chant Hare Krishna. Well, of course Lord Chaitanya can do so, but we couldn't do so to encourage animal surrender. But Srila Prabhupada explained when we chant Hare Krishna, even the ants and animals, if they hear, well, it's up to them if they can surrender. Of course, and for the animals it's so hard to surrender. And I don't know, I forgot that I was a pig in last life. I couldn't explain to you how the animals feel. Well, it's not, I don't think they surrender, but they get an unlimited benefit out of it, hearing the kirtans. And who knows, Krishna has a reciprocation with different living entities differently. I don't know. But from the Leela, when Lord Chaitanya was here, and this picture right here, that Lord Chaitanya encouraged them to surrender. The elephants, tigers, monkeys, and other living entities.
Rhinoceros.
Who?
Rhinoceros is unmentioned.
Yeah.
I was in an essay that at the end of the purport he mentions in the fifth canto, this will later explain. Mm-hmm. So why do you think he says fifth canto when every canto is explained?
Sorry, I didn't get it.
Last line of that purport.
Yeah.
He's saying that this will be later explained in fifth canto, right?
The transcendental quality is called Brahma Sokhyam. Yeah, they explained in fifth canto.
Why is that? Can you explain?
Maybe somebody else can explain.
Well, I mean, because the very first verse in the Rishabhdev's teachings, Nayam Deho Bejan Naloke Kashtankamaha, and then it says, Brahma Sokhyam Tvanantam, it's a similar line. So you can say it's explained later by Rishabhdev in all those verses. But still, fourth, third, all the cantos are explained.
Well, yeah.
But that specific point is going to be explained later.
Thank you. Yes. Prangamtu?
That's a nice class. Thank you. Very nice.
Thank you.
You should give more. I was thinking Prabhupada mentioned a couple of times the impersonalism, and I always remember Prabhupada says, I am addicted to the beauty. And when I think of impersonal, I don't see the beauty. So that's why I like Krishna. That's very logically he gave it. Like, and then Bhaktisiddhanta Sutagur says, apathy to devotional service is the cause of impersonalism. In other words, there is no impersonalism philosophy in spiritual world. But those like me came to this world, the apathy to devotional service, I don't want to serve, I don't feel like to serve God, Krishna, is the cause of impersonalism.
Yeah, we turn our face away from Krishna.
Yeah, that's
right. Anybody else? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Regarding the animals, just one thought that came. You have the example of liberated souls in animal bodies, like Gajendra, for example, and so on. And in the case of conditioned souls in animal bodies, we see on YouTube, we read articles of, especially in India, for example, of temple elephants or certain animals who actually do something that looks very much like some type of worship, some type of respect, some type of offering obeisances.
Here's a thought. In one sense, so-called human consciousness doesn't come from the body. It comes from the soul. I mean, all consciousness comes from the self. But the what we identify as the human form facilitates what we normally experience as human consciousness. Where one can perceive and discuss and consider bhakti issues. Ultimately, it comes from, it's just a thought I'm throwing around. It comes from the self, from the soul, and these conditional forms facilitate various conditional rasas, with the human form facilitating self-realization. But perhaps, that comes from the self, not from the body. The body just facilitates it. So in theory, any jiva could do it.
But he made a good point. He gave a good point. Hey. Shivananda Sen's dog actually dependent on Shivananda Sen. And at the end of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So surrender means depending on Krishna.
Yeah, from the heart of the jiva. Yeah.
No, but we are talking about the animal.
No, we're talking about the jiva.
Well, the important point in the verse, in yesterday's verse, Maharaj said, the surrender to unto the pure devotee of the Lord, and by following their footsteps in devotional service. For animal, it's hard to accept the guru, spiritual master, and surrender. But we do.
Well,
we can
do we? But but again, it's the heart. It's not we, and then there's the animals. It's the jiva. Mm-hmm. And the full faculties are always there with the jiva. They just manifest and not manifest. Now,